Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. By the way, that is the home of Mardi Gras. All you folks from New Orleans, especially you Cajun girl, all of you need to know that Mobile is the home, the original home of Mardi Gras. And we wear that proudly. Proudly we wear it. We just don't participate in it, but we wear it proudly. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing well today and looking forward to a really wonderful, safe 4th of July weekend.
Corey Labounty, good morning, pal.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks a year here on the Prep Sports Report. And just want to give a shout out to my mom who always listens, Sarah Lynn Andrews. Good morning, and I love you.
You know, it is Independence Day weekend, and we are under a we're under kind of a restrictive situation here, but and I know that we got a lot of listeners down at the Gulf. And, guys, please be safe. Be careful. This stuff is not nearly over, and we just got to do what we've been told to do and practice social distancing. And I know that when I say that, it's kind of like telling the kids when they were young not to do something, because at some point in time they're going to test you. But boy, we got to be safe in this, guys. I'm just telling you, it worries me a lot. It worries me a lot for us being able to start school back, just to get activities going again. And if we don't adhere to the policies that are put in front of us, we are going to have a mess, more of a mess. So I just hope that everybody will practice social distancing. We're going to talk about some high school sports, but first, right now, I just think that's utmost in my thoughts. And, Mark, I know it is in yours and Corey's as well.
Absolutely. You know, you look around and you just keep seeing numbers go up and more people getting sick. I know there's a lot more testing, and that gives us more numbers. But I do believe that there is, they warned us early on about a second wave of this, and it looks like we're starting to get parts of it. I know Baldwin County's numbers have risen quite a bit recently. But, there's things put in place for a reason, and I know I hear people say, oh, this is a bunch of junk, I'm not doing this anymore. And then there's other folks who run it to the hilt. That's – really your choice as an individual, but let's say there is some validity to what's being said about you should wear a mask, wash your hands all the time, stay away from other people as much as possible right now. I think as human beings, we ought to do that, not for yourself so much, even if you don't agree with it, but for others around you, other folks and people. You know, I take my own house, for example. Got myself, my wife, Bryant, and Brooks, who lived there, and my mother and father-in-law. Well, my mother and father-in-law, both, over 75 years old, and both of them have health issues. And so it is a big deal in our house of making sure that we don't bring it into our house, because we don't want either one of them to get sick, because we know that this disease really is tough on elderly, especially elderly with ailments or
underlying
issues. So please protect other people. If you don't have enough to do it for yourself, do other people.
Absolutely. Please. Absolutely. Guys, I was noticing earlier this week the top 10, what was it? Corey, you probably saw this before I did. And they the most dominant high school football teams of this decade. Mark, who do you think is the most dominant one?
Of this decade?
Yeah.
All classifications?
Everything. High school football.
High school football.
Yep.
From 10 to 20.
Yep.
You're going to have to put – UMS is going to have to go up there.
Not even in the top 10.
Tough. That's tough.
Hoover?
Hoover is one.
That is one.
Keep going.
All right. About Piedmont.
Corey, I'm
Piedmont.
I don't think Piedmont's in the top 10 either.
Wow. They got three state championships in this.
You know where Piedmont is? Piedmont's number 20.
All right. Let me think some more then. I'm way out of bounds. All right, how about Central Phoenix City?
Central Phoenix City's in there high.
Thompson.
Corey, jump in here. They're 16.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. I guarantee you, Mark doesn't like that. Not you, Mark, but you know, Mark Freeman doesn't like that at all.
Coach, it's kind of it's mind-boggling when you go to think about it.
Now, is this based on state championships or just straight wins?
It's a combination of the poll that they use it in, the main factors that Max Press determined it were state titles, state title appearances, top 25 finishes in Max Prep's poll, and state rankings for the Max poll, as well as national rankings.
See, I think Max Preps has lost their mind, if you want to know the truth. You said something. I mean, Mountain Brook, not close, but Vestavia, buddy, Thompson, Madison Academy. How do you leave UMS Wright out of the top 10?
Because that was the first, I mean, how about McGill Tulane?
They are. McGill Tulane is, matter of fact, I think McGill Tulane is number 4 in Max Preps.
And they
poll.
Should be. But I mean, Piedmont, you know, a lot of this has to do with the bigger schools. It's got to. I mean, you can't leave UMS Wright out of there. You can't leave Piedmont out.
What about, right, in the 2010s, Leeds was a really good
Leeds
team.
Leeds is number 10.
Are they?
Leeds is number 10, yeah. And Leeds is 10. All right, we're going to tell you these, see how you feel. Number 2 is Spanish Fort. They're, let's see, that's Brian Vinson, Mark Freeman, and Ben Blackman. Mm-hmm. Those are the coaches during that period of time.
I can see that.
Yeah. Number 3 is Clay Chalkville.
I didn't think about that.
I really didn't either, but that's Jerry Hood, and now I think Drew Gilmer's the coach there, the present coach.
At where?
At Clay Chalkville. That was Jerry Hood, and Jerry, they were good for a long time.
But, you know,
But one state championship.
One state championship. That's all.
How many has UMS won?
I think 4 or 5. I
mean, in the last 10 years.
Terry Curtis is sitting on at least
– maybe 3.
He's sitting on at least 6.
In this last 10 years?
No, not in the last 10 years.
I don't know, the last 10 years.
Yeah, 3. It's 3 or 4 or 5.
In a row.
In a 5. 3 in a row, yeah. That's what just baffles me. And I know I'm prejudiced, but at the same time, due is due. Right is right. McGill is 4, and that was during – let's see, that was – Mike Dean started that. And this is just in the last 10 years now. The last 10 years. Bart Sessions, Caleb Rost, and now Ernest Hill. Then number 5, this may get Central Phoenix City is 5.
Okay.
And that's, that's Woody Lowe and Jamie Dubose. So number 6, St. Paul's.
Now, I was thinking St. Paul's might be in there.
That's Jimmy and Steve, Jimmy Perry and Steve Mast. That kind of rackles me a little bit, but that's part of the Old Shell Road rivalry. Number 7's Auburn, Auburn High School. Tim Carter, Adam Weingarten.
Wait a minute. I know.
Now,
I'm praying. I love Tim Carter and Adam Weingarten. I'm not saying that. I'm not going down that road. They haven't won a state championship, have they?
One state runner-up. And again, you got to remember the state top 25. They finish in the top 25 poll in Max Preps, and that's what accumulated a lot of their points because they only have one state runner-up finish. And
I think Max Preps needs to redo how they put them in. I mean, Auburn's a great school, and they have won a lot of games. Don't get me wrong. I'm not counting out what they've won.
Yeah,
I'm not counting that out, but there are some teams in there that have won a lot of games and have won state titles, state championships.
How do you
Is
leave
that not
UMS?
The ultimate goal?
How do you
goal?
Leave UMS out of that? Nah, that's just crazy.
4. UMS has 4 within the last 10 years.
10 years.
4.
4. Opelika is 8. They've got no state championships. That's Brian and Caleb Ross and Eric Speakman. And number 9 is, Prattville. And they've got, I know, 1 state championship. And that's Dubose and Anderson and Caleb.
Prattville was having trouble winning, having a winning season until Caleb got back.
No question about it.
And, of course, Leeds is 10, and that's Keith Etheridge.
Well, I'm just so proud for Max Preps and what they've done. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. Max Preps does a lot of things really good.
They do. Congratulations to the Old Shell Road neighbors.
That's just
McGill
not right.
And St. Paul, very deserving, but I think the little brother, we got left out on that.
There's
one.
A couple teams got left out of
that's
there.
That's not good. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5. And a conglomerate of stations in the Talladega County area, Michael Brannon. All right, welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. Hope you have a happy, happy, safe Independence Day. And guys, as the son of a United States Marine, a proud son of a United States Marine, I want to thank all of those guys, ladies, and men that have made this day what it is. And, you know, I think about that and so thankful for those that have served and given us what we have. And I do want to, all of us need to be aware of this. Our Sylacauga affiliate, they have combined and they are now WFXO. It's 98.3 Fox FM. It's all Fox Sports. PSR is glad to be a part of that, glad to be a team member of that. Thanks to Michael Brannon, Lee Perryman for putting us in with Radio Alabama and getting involved with them. And we absolutely love our relationship with them. And it's always good to be home. And it's almost home for you too, Mark, because that's you spent time in Childersburg and in that area, and you're so well-recognized and so well-loved in that area. And we're just so proud and so glad to be a part of WFXO 98.3 Fox Sports and Sylacauga. Appreciate it, Michael. We got Jarvis Wilson. Jarvis is the girls' basketball coach at Carver of Birmingham. And, guys, I don't know if y'all know this. I know Jarvis. I don't know how old Jarvis is, but I can tell you this. Carver High School, we played Carver for a state championship when in 19 – what year was that? 1 year, whenever it was. But we played them. It ended up being a 7-6 game, and the kicking game ended up being the difference. And that didn't,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but they've got a brand new school now. If you,
it's up there up on near hill. Gardendale, yeah, isn't it? Like yeah. You're going up on the off yeah. the interstate.
Man, it's
is
beautiful.
It I-65? It's also I-65 on the right.
Yep, it
going
is.
On the way toward Gardendale.
It
and
is beautiful,
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 beautiful school.
School. Jarvis, I'm sorry to keep you holding there, but good morning. Welcome to PSR. Rick Cleveland, Mark Laster, Corey LeBounty, about 600 years of coaching here. And,
the ancient ones.
The ancient ones, that's right. We're 18 years strong on PSR, but welcome for your initial appearance on PSR. And you are blessed. I'm telling you, son, you moved out of downtown up on the hill. You moved from the outhouse to the penthouse. I can tell you that. But welcome to PSR.
Thanks a lot for having me on today. Good morning, guys.
Coach, you know, we're facing tough times in regards to the pandemic, and you know, you having a sport that was able to complete its season and losing in the regional finals, making it back there 1 year ago, you made it to the first ever Final Four in Carver Birmingham girls basketball history. How have you dealt with this pandemic coming back? Because here on this show, we love to share ideas across the state of Alabama, how coaches are dealing with it, and what kind of drills and new ideas have you had to come up with to be creative?
Well, thanks, Corey, for having me on. We've done several different things. New. Everybody's having to make adjustments as far as going applying to the restrictions that we're faced with right now with the COVID. But fortunately for me, we are able to – I have 8 varsity girls right now that is returning. So we haven't allowed the freshmen or anyone to truly come in yet. So with those 8 girls, and we're fortunate enough to have a big enough school that we're able to put a girl in each goal right now. And so we've basically been working on just basically – individual fundamentals and trying to really just make you stay sharp as far as concerning team concept and just small things of that nature, working on more of the mental aspect of right now versus more of the physical aspect, because we're facing difficult times. So we're just trying to make sure that and we're staying strong mentally right now. That's one of the biggest things right now for them, not to lose focus on, you know, and being able to enjoy something during this time.
You know, we're talking to Jarvis Wilson, the girls' basketball coach at Carver High School in Birmingham, and I'm going to play the name game with you, Jarvis, and I'm going to put a Hall of Fame name on you right here, buddy. After having cut my teeth as a head basketball coach in inner city Birmingham, Steve Jefferson.
That's my guy.
It ought to be your guy. I'm telling you, he is one.
That is one of my best mentors that I've had since I've been here and in Birmingham. Coach Jefferson still comes to the school to sub and lend his coaching expertise every now and then whenever he's, you know, around my area in the gym. But he's a great guy, and Steve Jefferson, he started the thing going on at Carver right now, especially with the boys program. Very, very good guy, very great mentor.
Well,
very special person.
Well, then you just hit a slam dunk right here with this host, because he's one of the guys, he and Cap Brown, that kind of took this lighter colored guy in and treated him as a son. I can promise you, Jarvis, he really did. And I'm so appreciative of those people.
Coach, when you also start looking at your program and coming here, you had some great roots in your time here in Mobile, Alabama. You had an opportunity to be an assistant coach at LaFleur as well as a coach at Blount High School. And of course, the girls made a great run there in your time that you were able to spend with those girls. Then you made the transition over to Carver or Birmingham. And as you're beginning to get the girls program to where you would like it again, making it to the Final Four for the first time in school history a couple years ago, and then last year making it all the way to the regional finals. You've had some great leadership, and history was made this past week as you had your first girls Division I commitment. Tell me about her and her name and what she means to your program.
The young lady in question is Randrea Wright. Randrea, you know, Cora, there's free words sometimes you can use to just describe that. You know, one of those kids that comes along every now and then that you don't have those often. And like I said, that's one of the kids that, you know, very few kids you would want your daughters to truly, truly model after. You really want your daughters to have their own identity. But this young lady is so special. You know, she just the perfect kid. You know, she's not arrogant. She's very, very skillful and just humble. And we appreciate Randrea, you know, just for coming in and buying into our program, because as we know, like you said, Randrea came to a program where she had the option. She could have went to a Ramsey High School. She, you know, she's a very, very intelligent kid, and she decided to come to Carver. And since she's been there, you know, we cannot ask for more out of a kid. She bought into the program. She never made it about her, and she just stayed humble and just a perfect student. You know, she sports right now. She has a 3.92 GPA. She's everyone in the school loves her. You know, everyone from the students to the teachers to the custodial staff. She's just that kid and keeps a smile. And she's not talkative, as you would probably think. You know, she's a quiet kid. You know, but just direct and a great person to be around.
It's that type of young lady who's going to continue to enhance your program. She was a second team All-State player, has over 1,800 points in her high school career so far, and hopefully if this pandemic cooperates, she'll have an opportunity to continue to enjoy her senior season and lead you guys back to a Final Four in Birmingham. And Jarvis, want to say congratulations on the great job that you're doing up there with those young ladies. Thank you so much for being a positive influence. We miss you down here in Mobile, but continue to do great things and stay safe, my brother.
Hey, man, thanks a lot, and you guys have a very, very happy 4th of July Independence Day, and enjoy yourself and keep your family safe and just stay safe during these times, man. It's great to hear from you guys. I love you all down there.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Coach. Take care. Blessings.
All you do.
Corey, that's good. I didn't know he'd been in Mobile. I'm off.
Yeah, he's kind of cut his teeth down here in Mobile, getting started, coach basketball, coach a little baseball as well. So he's a multiple sport coach who can do track. He pretty much has his hand in football also. So he's one of those guys that really understands the total student athlete, understands what it means. But his passion definitely has been in girls basketball, and you like to see him hopefully get back to the Final Four with the leadership that he has coming back.
You know, he really moved into a hotbed of ladies basketball, because that inner city Birmingham is becoming really getting a lot better than what we used to know it, Mark, especially you and I that know a little bit about the northern part of Alabama. Women's basketball up there, man, it's on a fast track to get really, really, really good.
It is, and I just think that as you look around our state, women's athletics has improved so much over the years, and it needs to continue to do that. And one of the ways it continues is we've got to get more and more young women coming through our ranks as coaches and teachers. They have so much to offer our kids, so I'm just hoping we can get more.
We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama. All right, welcome back to PSR.
The Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Too quick out there. Too quick. But welcome back to PSR. And the last thing that we, last commercial we heard there was Cravers. And I do want to remind you that Cravers in Mobile is open. Cravers in Daphne is still closed due to the corona. And it's being, I'm talking about, they are doing as fine a job as I think I've ever seen done, cleaning and just going over every little area right there in the Cravers location in Daphne. So, but Cravers out off of Schillinger Road here in Mobile is still open and certainly complying with everything that they've been asked to comply with, just as everybody that is open is doing. So that is where we are there. Do want to welcome our new home in Central Alabama, 98.3 Fox FM. And that's Radio Alabama, and we appreciate Michael Brannon and all the guys there, Lee Pearman, getting us involved with Radio Alabama. Rick Cawley. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're way too blessed to be stressed, but I can imagine as a head football coach in the state of Alabama right now, and just about anywhere, you're concerned about what's going on, and kind of give us a rundown of what you guys are doing over at Davidson.
Well, I'm about 400 hours short of my medical degree, so I just kind of do what other people tell me to do. For us, it's really been a great summer so far, being able to get back around the kids, and our attendance has been great. Some of the things that we're doing is, we don't go indoors at all. We moved our weight room to our high jump area where we have, and we put it all, 15 feet apart, every bar, and we kind of rotate people through outside for the weight training portion, and adopted more of a Tommy Moffitt complex type workout program. And other than that, we wear the masks and try to stay apart, but that's the hardest part, is keeping those kids apart. That's almost impossible.
You're absolutely right, Coach. We've been doing the same thing, not the same type of workout, but same thing of trying to keep them apart. And people, human beings, are social creatures, and we tend to be drawn to one another, and so to force us to separate is very difficult. But, it's something we just have to do. And I don't know about y'all, but it seems like I say at least 100 times every day we work out is, hey, y'all separate 6 feet, y'all separate. Is that kind of – I'm glad to hear you say that, because it kind of makes me feel – I felt like maybe our kids just didn't get it.
No, it's definitely a problem that we have. And, it's almost one of those problems that you kind of – are happy that they do like each other.
Yes.
And want to be around each other. But, it's weird. We space them out there, and we do the best we can. But, as soon as they leave, they're going to play Madden at somebody's house.
Right.
And not spaced out. And, you got AAU tournaments and travel baseball, and all this other stuff going on where there's no restrictions pretty much and no mask wearing. And, you know, it puts us in a kind of weird situation to where I think we're the only athletic events out there that actually have restrictions right now.
Yeah, Coach, it is a little bit tough there. We're talking with Rick Colley. He's the head football coach of the Davidson Warriors. And, Coach, last year was your first year as head coach. Now you've had a full year to kind of acclimate yourself to the school and the kids to you as well. I was looking at your upcoming schedule, Coach, and there's a lot of ats on your schedule this football season. And I was just wondering, you know, when you start to prepare, do you still have that open date scheduled for the 21st? And if you're not, who has it been scheduled in that place? And all the road games, you guys are definitely going to be literally road warriors this year.
Yeah, we play McGill on the 21st in a preseason game. We don't get a bye this year. I know a lot of people like the bye. I've never really been a big fan of it. We had one last year, and I didn't like it. You know, those kids signed up to play, so I figure we need to let them play. That's one more game of film they get. So that's why we play. We try to play 11. And our schedule's tough, but, you know, there's nobody down in this area of Alabama that's going to be an easy game. Anybody can beat anybody. So we embrace it, and, you know, not having a true home stadium, it is kind of difficult. We are on the road a lot. You know, sometimes we play at Ladd and we're still the visitors. So
right.
It's a difficult situation, but, you know, our kids are great. They just, you know, where's the game? We'll show up, we'll play.
And that's, I love that mentality, Coach. And to talk about your schedule, you mentioned you have McGill Tulane on a Friday night, and then you have on the Thursday night, the 27th of August, you have a home game against Daphne, which is a region game, and then you go into consecutive, I think maybe 5 weeks in a row to where you're at Murphy, at Enterprise, at Fairhope, at Saraland, and at Theodore. That's just a real tough schedule, and again, you said embracing it only makes you better and gets you prepared possibly making that playoff run, because like you said, your schedule, your strength of schedule actually gets you on film and on tape ready and prepared to be recruited by collegiate coaches.
Yeah, you know, we want to play the best that's out there, and you know, Rick Darlington's going to have Enterprise raring to go whenever we go up there, and you know, Coach Kelly always does a great job. Then you got our region schedule, but I mean, our kids don't get to play at places like Enterprise and Stadium at Saraland. So I think it's a great experience for them. You know, I've got the coach, you know, against Coach Kelly at Saraland before when I was at Murphy, and you know, we enjoyed it. We liked the atmosphere, so I tried to get that going again, and you know, he was welcome to the idea. So we're excited about the schedule. You know, what's the use in playing if you're not going to challenge yourself?
There's no doubt about that. Rick, have you ever played in Enterprise?
Yes, we used to. When I was at Murphy, we used to go up there and play a preseason game with Coach Faulkner.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place up there. Beautiful.
Yeah, the tornado came through and really destroyed their school, and they rebuilt. And it's an amazing stadium. I know when we spent a long time at Northview and Dothan, and our biggest rival was not Dothan High School, it was Enterprise. And telling you right now, and you're exactly right. Rick Darlington will turn that program back to what it was during the Bill Bacon era. I can promise you that. So that'll be a good test for you. That'll be a great test. That's a great schedule that you've assembled there to really get your kids prepared for the best of the best. So I commend you for that, Rick.
Well, we're going to try to challenge them, and our kids, they're not going to be afraid of anybody, that's for sure. And especially with the things going on in the world right now, we need to challenge ourselves a little bit.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate your time this morning on the Prep Sports Report. And just want to wish you a happy 4th. And, you know, you have a lovely family, Coach. Enjoy today with your family and stay safe and keep them safe as well throughout this pandemic. And just want to wish you the best, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a great 4th of July.
Thank you. You too, bud.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Colley, the head football coach at Davidson High School. And I don't know what that is going on in our phone lines right now. It's not? It's up here? It's in the air? It's not? Okay. So, well, it's not going out. That's good. Leanne has made sure of that. And so we're good there. You know, I think when I think about Rick Colley, it goes all the way back to Satsuma. Rick Colley was a dead-gum good running back, and he was always just tough as nails. And ends up, there was a Mark, you recognize this. One of the guys from UAB came by, and, you know, he was sitting there, and we were talking. I think Rick Chancery was in there with me, and we were talking about kids in our area. And we told him, said, you know, everybody's missing on this running back from Satsuma. And he ends up signing with UAB. He was a good football player. And he's just doggone turned out to be a doggone good football coach as well.
He has, and he's just done it. He's a guy that loves kids. And
That's true.
You say that a lot, and you see coaches do. But, I mean, you can hear it when he talks about his program. Every time we've ever had him on this show,
yep,
it has always been that same type of demeanor and love and passion, not just for coaching football or being a part of football, but for his relationship with kids in whatever capacity it is. And to me, that's what makes him the man and coach that he is.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And if you follow college football, as all of us do, that's really come up in the last week or two about Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. And, you know, I've always wondered why those guys aren't in the hunt for a national championship. You know, it comes out that the president and the athletic director have said, you got to get a better relationship with your players. And that's, you know, I think what came out with him wearing a shirt on a fishing trip just kind of started that.
Yeah.
And then, and I'm a coach. I understand. Sometimes as a head coach, you get so caught up in the nails and all the hardware that sometimes you forget what butters your bread. And I'm going to tell you, at that level, Mike Gundy better be better aware of who butters his bread. It's like the running back Hubbard that brought all of this out.
You know, I agree with you on that, because when I first heard the thing about Hubbard, it bothered me.
Yep.
It bothered me because I would have rather him contact his coach.
Right.
Say, Coach, that shirt you had on, I saw it. That really bothered me. I didn't like it. You know, what it stands for, and share his, instead of going national on it. But then if Coach wasn't going to do anything about it, then if he wants to say something, fine. But first, address your coach.
Absolutely.
But then we find out what we found out.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't address his coach because he doesn't feel comfortable addressing his
coach.
That's
exactly right.
That's why, you know, it's so important, you guys, to have relationships in high school to where you don't feel like there's going to be any punishment for being able to sit down and talk face to face with your head coach. You want to have that open door policy to where you can do that, to where you, if you don't feel comfortable talking to the head coach, if you're intimidated, that there's at least an assistant coach that you can lean on and kind of be the go through and the go to person, so you guys can have that mediator if you don't feel comfortable. But to me, no high school athlete should feel uncomfortable approaching their head coach.
And the point there is this: let that high school player go to that coach first,
right,
not mama and daddy.
Right.
Let that young man or that young lady do that.
Mom and daddy needs to send him to the coach too.
Hey, guess what? There was a guy that was hired as a junior varsity coach. Within days, he became a head coach of the varsity team. We'll find out who that is in just a few minutes. We'll be back with more Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
That's Chicago. Saturday in the Park. A little bit different being in the park in Chicago than it is in Daphne, Fairhope, Sylacauga, Childersburg. A little bit different. Or even over on the Louisiana coast, it's been different being in the park there. Real different being in a park in Louisiana, I can assure you that. But a lot of kids getting some recognition, guys. I noticed earlier this week a defensive back, and Corey, you brought it out too, he's a receiver, TJ Banks. got a couple of offers this week. And, well, you know, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to offers and stuff like that because so many things can change. But I think it's good, especially at this time of year. Corey and I were talking the other day. He said, how are kids going to get, you know, how are they going to be recognized athletically if they're not being able to play their sport? And that's a good question, Mark. We want to get into that in just a minute. But T.J. Banks has received offers, I think, from Tennessee, and he received his first offer from the University of Auburn.
Yeah, I saw that.
I need to call T.J. and say, that's Auburn University, T.J. But we're mighty happy for him. And, of course, everybody, I know Corey and I talked about this earlier in the week, Robert Woodyard is committed. Doggone good football player from Williamson who plays from sideline to sideline. He's committed to Alabama already. So, and I would imagine that's a pretty firm commitment when you commit to Nick Saban. So, big Birmingham lineman out of Minor High School, Amarian Krim, committed to David Cutcliffe in Duke last week. Then a couple of Josh Niblett's players at Hoover, at linebacker that Josh is so – think so highly of, Marcus Williams. I know that Rice and Coastal Carolina, he's got offers from Kansas, Army, Navy, Air Force, South Alabama, and Troy. Well, Josh thinks a lot of this guy, so he must be some kind of player. And I know Air Force has already offered that big receiver Malik Thomas from Hoover. And I know that Navy and Jacksonville State are also in on him. But then there's another big-time player at Hoover, and they got a bunch of them. A big running back there named Dylan Betts Pauley. Listen, this guy is a big, good-looking kid. South Carolina, Corey, your mom will be glad to know that Betts Pauley's got an offer from Vanderbilt and also Tennessee, Kansas, and Bill Clark over at UAB. Good-looking kid. And, I know, boy, Hoover's loaded with dadgum prospects. I'm telling you, they always are. Do want to tell you about a baseball player, Thomas Ballard. Played at Bob Jones up in Madison County, and he's already committed to UAB. And I'm going to tell you right now, doggone good program there. They're going. I don't know if they've hired a new baseball coach, but I know their baseball coach has retired, and so I'm anxious to see who they hire as their new baseball coach. But I did want to ask you that, Mark. That's something that's real interesting to a lot of people. Let's just say that things don't work out the way we want them to work out, and we certainly hope that everything works out in football. I mean, I just think that we need to be playing. Say they don't. What happens to these juniors and even seniors who should have already been recruited if they're going to be recruited? What happens to these even 10th graders, sophomores and juniors that don't get a chance to show their wear?
That's a question I have no answer for. They won't be – I mean, there's nothing you can do. If you can't play, you can't play.
Right.
There's no film, nothing to recruit, no way to get to them. Only thing I can't even imagine what a college would then set up as their criteria for recruiting someone.
Right.
What would they go by? Okay, we're going to come down and time you in your 40 individually. You know, we'll watch you do your 40 and do all the tests, you know, that come back. And that's one way they could test them, but they don't know how he can play. That's a hard call, Coach. I'm sure the NCAA has already started looking into that.
Yeah.
As to what they're going to do and how they'll do it. But to be honest with you, Coach, if we don't play college football this year,
don't play high school football.
We won't
or
play
college.
High school. Yeah. We won't play that. But if we don't play college football, I don't know if college football will ever be able to respond after a complete year's layoff with no money, no more athletes coming in, nobody doing anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. That you talk about a huge budget kick. You're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars that are just gone. It's not gone. It never came in. No revenue.
So, right. And how are the other sports that so much depend on that revenue?
How are they going to go?
I don't know.
And so you look at that. So you just don't. I mean, that's a coach. I've been worrying about this stuff for weeks now. What are they going to? What about these new kids who are just signed with a college,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting ready to go to a college this fall, and
yeah.
they're not playing now? Do they? What do they do?
I guess they stay at home.
There's so many questions up in the air. You know, first, I mean, in high school ball, how are we going to get from point A to point B?
On a bus.
On a bus.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? I'm not sure yet. I mean, I know all these questions are being looked at, but they can't be answered because nobody knows what COVID's going to do.
And what decision – I mean, what are the parents going to do? See, you know parents, there's going to be some parents that are just completely worried and nervous about it.
My household, like I mentioned a little while ago. Let's say we had a young kid playing high school football.
Right.
Do we want him exposed to COVID, possibly here, there,
and then bring it in your house.
And then bring it in our house and could cause serious repercussions for the elderly folks in our house. I mean, that's a real – it is a real problem.
But, you know, the other side of that is – we've had this before. We just hadn't had it as public. It's just not been – it hadn't been made – it wasn't something we watched on the news every day.
True.
And, I mean, have we been through this before? I mean, is it not something – is it any different from just the normal flu that we've dealt with?
And do we just move forward and say, okay, we're gonna soldier on and go right through this thing?
That's the other side
of it. And say, you know, if you get it, we go to the hospital, go to the doctor, let's get you well as best we can. And then over time, the antibodies will work up in the human race and work up to where we can defend it some. But at the end of the day, I just don't know.
I don't either.
Because what happens if that kid goes in and he has one of those kids has an underlying problem, he gets it and he doesn't make it.
Ooh.
I want to say this.
So many variables. Go ahead, Corn.
And that's what's scary. And coming into the top of the hour, I want us to discuss about the possibilities. And I've heard a lot of rumblings in Mississippi and Tennessee as well about flipping the calendar, meaning that instead of playing football in the fall, we'll play football in the spring. Because certain states have already said because social distancing won't affect certain sports such as cross country or outdoor sport, that they're going to go ahead in certain states and said, you know, we're going to go ahead and have this. But is it a revenue generating sport? So that's something I want to kind of talk about at the top of the next hour. And what are the benefits of taking your high school football season and flipping it over and having it in the spring? And it's something that I think is going to be discussed, has to be discussed as an option on the table for high school sports across the country.
That's interesting. And we will have a lot of discussion about that. And we will open up our lines, too. We sure will open up our lines and see what goes there. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama. Happy Independence Day, folks.